Welcome to the Inspired Intentions podcast with Skyterra Wellness. If you've been too busy and not taking care of yourself, it's time to reset habits and plunge into your new normal. I'm your host, Jeff Ford, and I'm joined once again with registered dietitian, Lindsay Ford.
Woo, woo. Woo.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is another exciting opportunity for the both of us to be working together in the podcast room. Today's episode is going to be the third installment of our Hay series. If you are a listener out there and you missed episode number one and number two, go back and give them a listen, because that's where we truly describe what health at every size is. Today's episode is going to be more actionable. Just remember, episode one, what we did cover is the obesity paradox, why BMI is not the best indicator of health. In episode two, we covered the difference between weight-inclusive care and weight-normative care, and how the health professionals and the individuals guiding you in your life towards better wellness, with their approach, they may actually be impacting your success. Today's episode, I know you're excited, Lindsay. What is our topic today?
So our topic today, it's basically five things. By doing these five things, will improve your relationship with your body and food.
Very nice. So how doing these five things will improve your relationship with your body and food. We're going to get super actionable. We're going to break down the nuts and bolts of how someone can implement health at every size and almost lead a more fulfilled and less intense life from a relationship perspective with both their body and food.
Yeah, trying to minimize some of the negative monkey chatter in the brain and just being able to focus on small things that could actually make a huge difference. It's just today we're really just going to dive into some really nice starting points.
Yeah, are you feeling ready? I see you got your unicorn mom cup over there.
I am. Today I just knew it was we had to bring the heat. So
yeah.
I've got my unicorn mom mug filled with coffee.
And inspiration.
And cream.
Oh, and cream. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always
basically
a latte.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is might be the most powerful episode, because what we want to do is help individuals change their relationship with their body and with food, as we've mentioned. Now, Lindsay, you have a ton of experience, if I don't mind saying, with people who hate their bodies. And I think that's the angle that I'm excited to hear from you today on. What experience, like, does any past guest come to mind that has maybe taken some of these tips already and done the changes that you've seen an impact?
Yes. One particular guest comes to mind. She's been here numerous times, and she was someone that originally came to Skyterra, and I think she knew pretty much right away that this was going to be a long journey, just kind of a long process. But she is basically, within the past 4 years, so that might sound like
4 years.
4 years. So cool. I know for a lot of our listeners, that might sound like, holy moly, this is going to take 4 years. It's different for everyone, but she's basically taken on more of this health at every size approach, where she is no longer dictating her success by the number on the scale.
Nice.
And really looking at the focus is on her true health. So she is now currently off her diabetes medication.
Whoa.
She is no longer taking blood pressure medication.
Nice.
Her weight has shifted, but it's really more about how she feels. And her now, I know when she goes on trips and vacations, it's doing the things that she loves to do, as far as like maybe it's going on a hiking trip and just being able to live her life, basically.
Is it fair to say that she thinks about her body less at this point by implementing this approach?
100%.
Yeah, that's super cool. I think a guest that comes to mind for me is a guest in our current Lose Smart program. What's been inspiring about her is she's been here about 2.5 weeks now. She is completely off her blood pressure medication now as well.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And so it was like last week she was getting a bit lightheaded, had communications with Teresa Osler, obviously our registered nurse here on staff, and her doctor at home. And I think what was so cool in the Lose Smart huddle this week is she shared that as like her highlight from last week. And the focus was on the change in blood pressure. And I think this guest in particular, she came in with it being less about the weight and honestly just wanting to get healthy. And I think that is pretty cool to actually witness that on a weekly basis. And so that's something that happened a little quicker than the guest that you're describing.
Yeah.
But it is possible to change this relationship fast, but over time it probably is something that we always have to be cognizant of and continue to work on.
Absolutely. It takes work. I think that's a really big important thing to remember, is that it does require some work.
Yeah, especially with some of the concepts we covered in episode 1 and 2 being kind of part of our culture and part of our environment. So let's get into it. We want to talk about what 5 things to do that are going to help you make these changes. So my first question for you today, Lindsay, is what are your thoughts about the scale?
The scale sucks.
Whoa. Was that an explicit?
That was explicit.
Was it?
We'll
check with Alan.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, depending on what kind of scale you use, like we've got an InBody machine here, which kind of breaks down the body composition, which is, I think, more valuable than a traditional scale that you could purchase, you know, in your own home.
You receive more information than just weight.
Yes. But I'd say your everyday common scale, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of.
Okay. Now, would you recommend folks who like the scale go out and buy the $15,000 InBody?
The 100% no.
No, it's one, it's expensive. Two, maybe it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
What do you say to that person who's been disgusted with their weight and with their body? How would you tell them to approach the scale? Because what you're asking is a big ask, not to push back, but you're saying, hey, just get rid of it. How would you tell that person who's kind of struggled with that specific relationship to start?
So I would, like you said, I would encourage people to actually remove it.
Okay.
I would encourage this individual to hand it over to someone.
Oh, wow.
If they really feel like they need to. So it could be, I'm going to pass this off to my therapist. I'm going to pass this off to somebody that's been a really positive support for me.
So put it in the hands of someone they trust, maybe someone they're already working with.
Yeah. And it could be something that they process, as in, like, what does letting go of this actually mean? Because this hasn't been serving me well.
Yeah.
So I think that's the question for our listeners, is how is the scale actually serving you? If it is, I mean, we get this on day one from our guests that come here, and, you know, we probably get a small percentage of people that are really, their mood is completely shifted just by seeing the number on the scale.
It changes just their thoughts about their week or what happened. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And then at the end of the week, especially for our 1 weekers, that, you know, I think it's great for anyone that can come here for a week. It's amazing. You can gain so much out of it.
Yep.
And it's a week.
Six days.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing the rescreening, it's like 5 days. If you're only here a week.
So the rescreening process, how is that going to serve me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think for some, it's like, well, I can justify it by saying, oh, it's going to give me some, you know, positive feedback.
Motivation. I hear
that
a lot.
Well, I guarantee you, as you leave this program, or as you make even a changes at home for a week where you're doing some more walking and you're getting better sleep and you're eating differently, guarantee you don't need a scale to give you that feedback.
Yeah.
Your body's going to be able to give you that feedback.
What you're saying is collect the feedback from the feeling of the changes that you're making and make it less about the weight in that way. It almost sounds like you're not against the scale, but I actually have seen this a lot with our Lose Smart guests, is they want to get the screen every week, but they don't want to know till the end of the month. Or they don't even want to know at all, which I've been super impressed with our guests creating that relationship while they're here. And I'd say that, once again, like we mentioned in our previous episode, that's almost 1/3 to half of our guests who do that longer term stay with us.
Yes. And I think it takes people around them saying, hey, that's okay for you to actually not get on the scale.
Yeah.
Like, that's absolutely fine. And we support that decision.
Well, and I like that you gave credit to our philosophy here and to how we talk about the scale and weight with guests. Some people buy into it when they're on their journey with us here. Some people don't, and that's okay. But I do think this is a great tip so that health at every size can be more present in somebody's life. Now, you mentioned health professionals and that relationship. Now, I think the big thing is, how can someone take the information you've shared over our time together and communicate, advocate with their health professionals at home?
So this would be the second thing, or if we had to, you know, if we've got these 5 things we're talking about today, I'd say another thing to really start practicing and putting into someone's life would be to start advocating for yourself. This looks like maybe when you go see your doctor or you go get a checkup with, I don't know, there's always some sort of yearly appointments that you might have to do.
Okay.
So it could look like saying, you know what, I'd rather not get on the scale. I'd rather have the conversations not be about my weight. You can mm-hmm. advocate for these things and it should be heard. It should be honored. Now, depending on someone's health background, I mean, if you've got somebody that might need to get a weigh-in, mm-hmm. there could be that still happens. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to say is you can advocate towards different health professionals where your weight, your body, certain things are just not discussed. You let okay. the professional do their actual profession.
Mm.
So for example, you could have somebody that's going to see a personal trainer two or three times a week.
Yeah.
Is it really in your best interest to have that person, the person that's leading you through a workout, dive so deep into like your weight and the numbers
and what you're eating even?
Yeah, it's just not like, why? Like, just let them be your trainer.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is you want individuals who are struggling with this relationship with their body and with their food, you want them to maybe speak to the professionals in their life from the angle of weight inclusive care is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's not second nature for every single health professional out there. It is something that I think we're implementing. Any other tips for when, say, a guest is going to work with a dietitian, for instance, or a different type of health professional that might be helping them with behavioral-based goals?
I would ask them if they follow a non-diet approach. I would ask okay. them if they even know what Health at Every Size is.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, some yeah. people don't, and that's fine. But you could be the person that actually educates them and lets them know, like, hey, there's a new paradigm shift happening, and you could be on the cutting edge of something that really makes a positive difference.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes to mind is family and friends and people that
ooh,
they're
good point.
Around. I'd say family is huge, where that, you know, it could be mom, it could be sibling, who knows who it could be, but you mm-hmm. almost might need to remind someone time and time again that you don't want to talk about food. You don't want to talk about
yeah.
exercise. You don't want to talk about weight loss. Like, it's just not a conversation anymore.
That's a great point, because I think those closest to us in our life, because they want the best for us, might think that they're helping when they talk about weight or when they suggest a certain type of dinner that night. But it almost can be not what that individual needs. And I think what you're saying is have that honest conversation with your family and friends so that they understand you're taking this approach mm-hmm. and that's the approach that you're going to lead to reach the goals that you have as the individual. So that's tip number two, communicate, advocate. Sounds like get clear with the professionals and the family in your life. What is, I think the thing that I share a lot at SkyTerra is like chain reaction behaviors. And what I'm wondering from you, Lindsay, is if there was one behavior that is outside of getting on the scale and like nutrition, like relationship with food stuff, what would be one behavior outside of that context that would help someone who struggles with their body image and with their relationship with food to move forward and use the Hayes approach most effectively?
I know this is something that we might not make direct connections with, mm-hmm. but the thing that I always tend to come back to is sleep.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. So I definitely think about sleep being a domino effect on where we're at mentally, where we're at physically, energy. We actually have a podcast that I think goes into sleep.
We did it in the dark. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. We actually did it in the dark. It was super creepy. it was one of our original episodes, and we did it and we didn't fall asleep, but it was in the dark. Pretty
yeah.
cool. Very informative. And we do have a handout on skyterraathome.com so you can look into more tips and tricks.
Yeah, I would definitely encourage sleep being just like, I mean, if we think about what our body needs to function and what our brain needs to function, sleep is going to be one of the top things on the list.
Heard. How does sleep maybe impact someone's mental health and their ability to maybe like their body?
Oh, gosh. I'd say it's, I think of it more actually as a domino effect, where if you're not getting quality sleep, if someone has, you know, underlying anxiety, depression, I don't think not getting that sleep is going to actually help any anxiety or depression or anything like that. So if anything, if you're tired and exhausted, it's probably only going to make things worse.
Mm-hmm.
Versus if you've got energy and you can go into your day with a different frame of mind, could be at least something working for you and not against you.
It's all about the energy. I mean, I think these steps are going to take some energy because it is a different approach. And so by sleeping better, that individual is going to have that energy. Okay, cool. So sleep is a behavior to prioritize so that we can successfully implement and do these things that we're talking about today. If you were to choose a type of movement, what type of movement would improve this relationship?
So if we're talking body dysmorphia, which is when somebody does not perceive themselves in true reality, which is very difficult to shift.
Yeah.
Movement could be something that could improve our body image, but it could also be something, depending on what you get into, it only makes things worse.
So it'll depend on the type.
Yeah, I think it could for each person. Like if somebody, let's say, I mean, if we think about certain activities where what's around us, there could be a lot of comparison.
Yeah.
I think of just certain sports, gymnastics, running. It could be very easy for some people to compare themselves to others. Now, that's a lot of internal work right there, but there might be certain activities that might serve people better if they're trying to do...
to improve that relationship.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think of dancing. I think of yoga.
Okay.
Maybe getting out in nature and just going on a walk and going on a hike. Just something that just kind of allows somebody to be in their body and where it's not anything about any sort of body shape change.
Yeah, I'm hearing less structure and less organized type movement. Where my head goes there is just focusing on like how the movement is making the person feel, so that they're not thinking about maybe within that fitness class how they're doing, like you said, compared to everybody else. Because fitness classes can do that, especially in like the real world outside of SkyTerra Disney World. There is a lot of comparison and I think judgment that is woven into fitness classes.
In some fitness, it's easier to also maybe look at calories. I mean, you think of all of the treadmills and everything that's out there, and it tells you how many calories you burned.
Instructor who like is like, hey, you burned 800 calories. That was an awesome workout. So it's almost feeding that
mentality.
It
could feed it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you could, again, if we go to advocating, we could actually, or I could say even make boundaries. It's like, let's not engage in that type of movement.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's been something that somebody gets a little bit of a high from, it's like, actually, that's not serving you well.
Yeah.
Do something different that is actually going to be probably challenging because your brain might be thinking you need to be doing something else.
Yeah. Nice. I think that's a very interesting point because I personally see it a lot with guests that I talk with just around fitness where they are thinking about the caloric burn. And I think that feeds into a non-health at every size approach because you're just worried about the response and what that's going to do to drive the changes, quote unquote, changes in your body, without just focusing on how the movement makes you feel.
Yeah. At that point, you're probably just numbing out. You're not even feeling anything.
So you're suggesting just movement that makes people feel good. It gets them out of their head and less focus on like the quantitative aspect of the movement as well.
Yeah. Less focus on the time, the reps, the calories burned, all of it. Just doing, and I think movement and joy kind of coming together.
Super practical, hard to do because like you said, it is woven into that fitness culture as well. So we've covered four of these things that we want you to do right now, listeners. We have a fifth one for you. And I think this stems from, you know, with all this information you've received over the three episodes, everything that we've kind of thrown out for you on this health at every size approach, Lindsay, I guess like this fifth tip is like what you would tell that person to focus on besides weight? And that is a big question, but what would be that thing that someone who's struggling with this should focus on besides weight?
So I would encourage them to focus on other markers other than the weight that look at their health.
Okay.
So maybe it's making a list of things like someone's blood pressure. Like you mentioned, yeah, the guest that's here right now, where that was actually a highlight for her.
Super highlight. Right? I mean, you should have seen how like excited she was, and the whole group like clapped for her. I mean, and it's been a small Loosemart group this past week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that I think that's why we wake up and do what we do every day. It was inspiring.
Yeah, for sure.
So focus on blood pressure. What else could somebody do?
It could be, you know, if they've gotten blood work done anytime. I mean, it could actually be just getting blood work and then kind of taking it from there.
Cool.
And seeing, all right, where are my fasting blood sugars at? What's going on with inflammation? Where's my vitamin D? Looking at those things versus, again, the number. Now, if you get your blood work, of course, there's probably someone checking your weight too. But anyways, it is looking at things going on internally.
Well, 100%. Like under the hood type indicators. And I think it's pretty simple what you're saying. You're saying, hey, just don't use weight as the indicator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And, you know, for some, it's like I struggle getting up the stairs without being short of breath.
Yeah.
Things like that. Being able to get off the ground and standing on my own without a lot of extra support.
Good point.
It could look like
less pain.
Yeah, less pain.
Less lower back pain.
Yes.
You name it.
Yeah.
Another thing that comes to mind for me that we do in our Loosemart program, not to keep referencing it, but every week we do a 1 mile time trial. And every single week we see individuals' endurance and stamina improvement.
That's cool.
So it's not about how many calories they burned in the mile. It's about how them uniquely progressed in their cardiovascular fitness.
Mm-hmm. Mobility.
Oh, mobility's big. And that's what I hear is what guests truly want. And so it does remove that focus from the weight.
Yeah. For sure. So that would be definitely a really big thing is, and I'd say for each person, maybe it's making that list of what things do I want to really focus on and look at that has nothing to do with the number on the scale that I may have been previously attached to. And really striving to make changes that could then get you closer to making those different things shift in the direction that you want.
Love it. The word I picked upon was attachment. So anything that you, listener, have maybe been getting attached to as you chip away at your goals, we don't want attachment with any of these things that we're measuring us that will help us still give us a focus. We just don't want the attachment there. So I think we've covered some very actionable stuff. What I'm going to do, Lindsay, is I'm going to just recap what we gave provided our listeners today. And then I think, do you have a challenge for our listeners?
I do have a challenge.
Cool. So here's the quick recap, listeners, and then stay with us because this challenge is going to be a good one. So number one thing we covered today was the scale. Try to remove the scale. Our registered dietitian, Lindsay, is saying not to use it. And to potentially give it to a person in your life that you trust that can still be giving you that feedback and have the number, but allows you not to focus on what that number says week to week. The second thing was communicate, advocate. That's a nice leeway. Health professionals need to know how you want to be looking at your program, and it's going to be something that isn't normal in the environment that you might be placing yourself in with fitness, with working with a dietitian, or even with your doctor. So advocate, communicate with them with the HAZE approach that you want to be taking. Third, we talked about the one behavior that you want to prioritize, which is sleep. That'll give you more energy so that you can focus on these steps that we're calling you to action on. Fourth was, what's your relationship with your movement? Create a relationship with movement that's about joy, that's less about the calories burned and less about just measuring yourself when you are moving your body. So find that enjoyment piece. And finally, Lindsay mentioned that what we want to do is look at indicators that are under the hood, the internal indicators like blood pressure, blood work, things that truly are indicative of health. Those are the five things we want you to do right now. Lindsay, what's the challenge?
So the challenge for our listeners is to find a journal, even if it's a piece of paper.
I have a journal.
Yeah, I know you've got one. I like journaling. Yeah. And every single day, whether it's in the morning, I would encourage in the morning or at night, but probably first thing in the morning when you wake up, and to write down one thing that you're thankful for with your body.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah. So okay. Something that expresses gratitude towards your body.
How many days do you want our listeners to do this in a row?
I would do 5.
5 days.
I would encourage 7, but we'll start off with 5. Even if it's 3 days in a row, that's like amazing.
Cool.
So I know this sounds silly, but it could be, you know, thank you eyes for allowing me to see. Thank you legs for allowing me to get up today. Ooh. And to literally get me from point A to point B.
Nice.
Like those kinds of things that we can easily take for granted.
I love that. Thanks, Lindsay.
Yeah.
This has been fun. Thank you so much for the Haze series. I mean, you spearheaded our time together. And so I think with that, listeners, take the challenge. We look forward to hearing from you. Our executive producer is always very grateful for any comments that you want to send in. We want to know how this approach impacts your life. And we're super excited to just be your guide, as always.
Yeah. And I just want to, before I wrap this up, I really want to encourage our listeners to dive into the Health at Every Size approach even further. So this is not just a 3 podcast listening type thing. This is like a full throttle commitment.
Yeah.
And it could look like buying some books. It could look like listening to other podcasts. It could look like talking with a lot of the people around you about it. So I would encourage our listeners to pursue this further.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to send everyone off today. So here we go. The Inspired Intentions podcast is a production of the SkyTerra Wellness Retreat. Special thanks to our executive producer, Alan Broyhill. Send us your questions and comments to inspiredintentions@skyterrawellness.com. Subscribe on iTunes and everywhere podcasts can be found. If someone you know might benefit from this podcast, share Inspired Intentions with them and give us a 5-star rating. Join us next week as we cut through the unrealistic noise on diets and fitness and show you how healthy living fits seamlessly into your already busy life. Thanks for listening.